hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone, we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord."
The second reading comes from the Gospel of Jesus according to St. John, from chapter 20, and reading from verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Good morning, everyone. And good morning if you're watching us at home as well. Not too much up here. Let me pray for us. We thank you, Lord, for your word, but we do need your help in hearing it this morning. So we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to open our eyes and our hearts to what you would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. What a great passage from the Bible today. A fantastic description of all those dry bones being pulled back together and then breath entering those restored bodies so that a vast army of people come back to life. How does this touch your senses if you enter the story? Can you feel the sun on your back in that dry valley, or the shock of seeing all those bones lying there? Perhaps you hear the rattling sound of the bones coming back together, or the sound of breath as it sweeps into dead bodies, or the sound of voices as people come to life. Perhaps do read the story again later today and think about where you are in it and how you picture it. It struck me that as well as giving a vivid, powerful picture, this reading was great for our part two on the work of the Holy Spirit, and it links Pentecost last week and our return to Nehemiah next week. Because here is a story that is so much about restoration, the literal bringing back together of scattered lives, an image perhaps of what God is doing with us right now. And it's also about the work of the Holy Spirit. Last week, the sound of a mighty wind. Today, the sound of breath. Ezekiel lived 150 years before Nehemiah, and he was a priest who was actually one of those taken captive into Babylon. After some time in exile, God calls him to be a prophet. Much of his message is difficult. It's about judgment and destruction. But over time, Ezekiel begins to promise a work of restoration, which will see the exiles return to the promised land and rebuild. And in that sense, Nehemiah was part of the fulfillment of that prophecy. But Ezekiel's message is met with disbelief. The people are so despondent and full of doubt. And if anything, Ezekiel finds that the more he says, the harder their hearts are becoming. And now God steps in. He calls Ezekiel again. The Holy Spirit is at work. In this vision, God takes him for a walk to and fro through the valley of dry bones. To be unburied was evidence of a curse. So it's a valley of judgment as well as death. And those bones are very dry. They've been there a long time. Animals and birds have done their job. The sun has baked and bleached them, and there is no trace of life whatsoever. Son of man, asks God, can these bones live? Well, the obvious answer is no, not on your Nelly. Ezekiel hasn't got the nerve to say no, but neither does he have the faith to say yes. So he's sort of diplomatic. He passes it back to God. Only you know, Lord. In his head, he knows that the Lord is the Lord of life and death, but these are the dry bones of the long dead. How on earth could these people live again? So God intervenes with two instructions, and they're the means by which God's Spirit can restore a dead, despondent people into a living, confident, active army filled with the breath of God's life, the Holy Spirit. The first is, in verses 4-8, Ezekiel needs to speak God's word for restoration. God now gives Ezekiel a very specific instruction. Prophesy to these bones, speak to these bones, and command them to hear the word of the Lord. Preach to the dead who cannot even hear. Speak out the promise of restoration and life, even if it seems impossible that anyone is listening. For Ezekiel, it's essentially an instruction to keep going with what God has called him to do. Act as a prophet to a people who aren't listening to God's word. God is asking him to continue his calling, even if it seems fruitless. But now here is a fresh message for God's people that God will restore these dry bones with tendons and flesh and skin and then breath. So Ezekiel simply obeys and speaks of God's word and promise of life. And as he does so, a rattling sound begins, and the living power of the word of the living God causes bones to attach to each other, then tendons and skin. Ezekiel watches a miracle. I have a picture of a thigh bone scuttling along to find the knee bone that it used to be attached to, and the bones of the back and the shoulder and the neck and the head all coming back together. Absolute chaos for a moment, but then total order. As skeletons are complete and tendons and flesh and skin added. The command to the dry bones is to hear God's word. There's an important principle here that God uses his own word to bring about new life. God's word is creative. As in Genesis, God speaks and new life comes into being. As Ezekiel addresses the dead bones, the word of God itself is the life-giving, creative power to bring them to life. There is power in God's spoken word to bring about what it speaks of. In Jesus' ministry, it was what he said that accomplished his works of compassion. The life-giving words that he spoke healed the sick, raised Lazarus from the dead, released people from evil spirits. God speaks of his word in Isaiah 55, that the word that I send out will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. His word has power. There is power in speaking and hearing the word of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is at work in God's word. 2 Peter 1 says of the prophets, and Ezekiel shows this perfectly, prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And we know that, as Timothy put it, all scripture is God-breathed. And what about us? Here is a word, as it was for Ezekiel, to continue in what God has called you to do. Even when it's tiring, seems simply more of the same, or seems empty. But also allow God to speak to you with a fresh word. Ask him for that, if that's what you need. If it's not your practice at the moment, find a way of turning more to God's word Monday to Saturday. In a small group, via a particular app on your device, go to Shoemaker's Bookshop and find some notes that will help. Without God's word, we are simply dry bones. As we seek to rebuild, return, reconstruct, restore our life together, we need to be people of God's word. Our vision document says that we want to be a church where the Bible is central to what we believe about God and how we live for him. Here at St. Nick's, there is a sense of coming back together, being built up again. And here today is a picture of bodies being put back together. And of course, in the New Testament, the church is likened to a body. Each part is valued and has a vital role to play. We are still at a stage of seeing each other for the first time, finding those parts of the body again, reconnecting with each other, returning perhaps to a role you had, or maybe post-COVID, taking up an entirely different role. Let's allow God's word to speak to us as he rebuilds us together. And we must continue to take God's word to the dry bones that we see around us, to speak words of life to those who don't know of God's love, who have their lives rooted in what is ultimately not able to bring life, pursuit of status, money, or pleasure. And we must do that even if we see no change, even if we hardly believe ourselves that God can change things. God asks that great question, can these bones live? Do you believe, he asks, that I can change the lives of those who don't yet know me? Do you believe I can restore your dry bones? Your finances, your relationships, your self-esteem? For many such things, I'm with Ezekiel. My answer is a bit like his. I know enough about God to know that he can do such things, but I can't always say I have the faith to believe it. I had that tussle just the other week during the Thy Kingdom Come prayer 11 days as we prayed for 5 people to come to know Jesus. I know that God can touch their lives, but I can't imagine it happening. Perhaps Ezekiel's over to you, God, is not as faithless as it sounds, because it is enough for him to speak out and for God to act and for dry bones to come back together. But at the end of verse 8, the miracle comes to a halt. The bones are lifeless bodies once more. No life, no breath, no movement. Perhaps the vultures, hardly able to believe their luck, might have started circling already for a second helping. So now Ezekiel needs to pray for God's spirit for revival. And here comes the next instruction. Prophesy to the breath. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. Throughout this passage, the same Hebrew word, ruah, is used 10 times, translated as breath and spirit and wind. At its root is the idea of air that is in motion, a breath or a wind, gentle breeze or rushing wind. In these COVID times, ruah breath is something that we've all been avoiding by wearing face coverings. The Holy Spirit at Pentecost was like a wind. Here, it's like he's like a breath. Ruah breath is present in every part of this scene, but most significantly in verse 9, Ezekiel is told to summon that breath. And here that undoubtedly means the Spirit of God, to come and breathe into these dead bodies that they may live. In effect, Ezekiel prays to the Spirit of the living God on the basis of God's promise to breathe life into those who were dead. And so all those people breathe again and stand up alive, a vast army. The miracle is complete. A literal, physical revival of all these people has occurred. We see that simply to declare God's truth on its own can never be enough. We need the breath of the Holy Spirit to come in power upon the word. So for us, we can have good preaching. We can have a great vision document. We can have teams and processes and plans. But this is a reminder that without the breath of the Holy Spirit, all these are just dry bones or a body lacking life. We can stuff our heads with knowledge and theology, but without the Holy Spirit, there is no spiritual life or movement, no experience of God in our lives or the lives of those who don't yet know Jesus. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, the army will remain as corpses. There will be no revival. A little while ago, I read this book, When God Breaks In by Michael Green. It explores various revivals in our history and at the end asks the question, can we expect God to break in again? Or perhaps for today, can these bones live? Michael Green says that the answer at one level has to be no. Times of renewal or revival are brought about by the sovereign act of God. We can't organize them. As with Ezekiel, it's all about God. He arranges them. Lord, you alone know. But what Michael Green does highlight is that there are some aspects that seem to be significant on the human side. And two of them we see here with Ezekiel. Where there is revival, a fresh burst of new life, it is always accompanied by a serious return to the Bible, to the living Word of God. And there is always prayer. Prayer is an expression to God of our complete dependence on Him. When we see that without the Holy Spirit we are like dry bones and can achieve nothing, we will begin to realize how much we need to cast ourselves on Him and cry out to Him for strength and life. I expect you're like me. I know that we're totally dependent on all that Jesus has done for us from start to finish and for any growth and change in our lives and as a church. But I still find that I often think that I'm vital too. May the dependency on God that we know is true drive us to pray and to plead that he will breathe life into our dry bones, our individual dry bones that are tired after a crazy year, that find life and the Christian life a struggle. And into the dry bones of the church here and across the land, so that we might prove to be a mighty army in our day. The final verses, 11 to 14, tell us that this passage is essentially about hope. The mood among the exiles is of total despair. Their bones are dried up, their hope is gone. They are as good as dead. And this vision of the valley of dry bones, the word of God and the breath of the Holy Spirit and the new life they bring is designed to bring hope to Israel as a people. Their God has not forsaken them and will set them free and bring them back. And what God will do in restoring Israel speaks of a future day when God will restore all humanity. There are echoes in this passage of that gospel reading we heard. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Lord of life, just risen from the dead, summons the breath of God as Ezekiel did, and the disciples receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is still at work today. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead and brought those dry bones back to life is still available to bring life and salvation and hope for those who will trust in Jesus. Let's pray together. And as we pray, let's be quiet for a moment. Creator God, we come to you this morning. We are dry bones without you. We need to hear you speaking to us through your word, and we need the breath of your Holy Spirit to bring us life. Come and fill us with your Holy Spirit today. Touch us afresh as we seek to follow you and as we build your church together. Keep our eyes on you, set our hearts on you, and fill us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.